You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
With the government having moved away from an elimination strategy and having committed to a COVID suppression strategy, primary care officials have raised their concerns about the strain widespread Delta in the community could have on their sector. The primary care sector is the first point of contact in the healthcare system. These are places such as general practices, community pharmacies, dentists, and optometrists. This morning, I spoke to Head of Primary Health and General Practice Department, Associate Professor Lynn McBain at the University of Otago, Wellington. We had a conversation about this concern from primary care officials and also talked about how Delta in the community could impact the primary care sector and why vaccinations are so important to avoid such a stress on the sector. Here is Lynn now. The government has committed to a suppression strategy, meaning that the Delta variant is here to stay in New Zealand and we must learn to live safely with it. What does this mean for the primary care sector?
This sent a bit of fear through me as a GP initially, because we've been working so hard at protecting our patients and ourselves from COVID. And now that it will be likely to be more widespread in the community, we will be expecting to be dealing with patients who are testing COVID positive. And that's yet another area in which we will have to learn, adapt, be nimble, whatever phrase of the day people want to use. It's been such a constantly changing landscape of knowing what we should be doing over the last 18 months, and here's yet another thing to learn about. I think we're ready for that challenge, but people are also a little bit weary of the constant change.
Now, what sort of capacity do New Zealand hospitals, medical practices and healthcare workers have for an increase in Delta cases in the community?
Well, we have some capacity. What's really hard to know is we don't know what that increase will be like. We don't know, will it march its way down the country? Will it pop up everywhere at once? Will it be, so I work in Wellington, will it be, you know, different suburbs at different times? Interestingly, now I know COVID is not like the flu, but even in years when there's been high levels of influenza, the variation around even Wellington City, different suburbs became affected at different times. So one would sort of anticipate that the demands on individual general practices will be different at different times. I think there'll have to be some extra support. I think someone's written calling it surge capacity for general practice to help manage COVID in the community. That ideally, as practitioners, we would want to look after our own enrolled population. But if there was a large amount, say, in my practice, then we might need to call on colleagues from other practices, and we would offer that same support if all of a sudden in Lower Hutt there were hundreds of cases and they felt overwhelmed.
I suppose that is sort of the problem, is predicting something that we're not really sure. Yeah, it's predicting the future. We don't know.
Yeah. And as far as hospitals, I, of course, that's not my area of expertise at all. But hospitals, we know already right now, are working really hard and almost full. So add in something else, that's going to be a potential issue for hospitals. One of the key things will be an agreed care pathway between primary care and the hospitals, so that we all know exactly what we're doing. So that if a patient exhibits certain clinical signs and symptoms, that, and I'm ringing secondary care and saying, Mrs. Smith needs to come into hospital, but they say, oh, yes, we understand, we'll take her, so that I'm not having to argue with them about whether they have capacity or not, and that they also can rely on us to do the appropriate monitoring and checks in the community. So secondary care to rely on primary care and primary care to be able to rely on secondary care. So really working together will be a big part of it. I think there will not be the ICU capacity potentially, and the public, the New Zealand public, maybe doesn't understand that if COVID becomes widespread in the community, other things are going to have to stop, like cardiac surgery might well have to stop. Complicated cancer surgery will have to be very carefully planned so that there'll be capacity for those patients if they get extra sick and need ICU care. So this cannot be just added on to routine care. It's going to have to displace some routine care. And that's a bit concerning to me as a GP. I want my patients to be able to get their routine care, and yet there'll be some displacement.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely been reading that, and that is the core problem, that there's a limited resource of ICU care beds, but also for the people that are working in that space as well. It is pretty, pretty serious.
And it's not solely, yes, there's been a lot of criticism about the running down of the health system and not employing, but just right now, throwing money at it is not going to fix the problem. It's a long-term solution to fix the problem. We can't just magic up more GPs, more intensivists, more ICU nurses. Even if the borders were wide open, there's not going to be enough staff to potentially be able to do all the business as usual and care for COVID. There is going to have to be trade-offs there.
Now, just finally, I want to talk about vaccination rates and how important it is to increase vaccination rates.
Yes.
Will widespread vaccination relieve the stress on the primary care sector?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We've been all general practice and working so hard to encourage their patients to be vaccinated, because every person that's doubly vaccinated is someone less that will have to go into hospital. That maybe they might test COVID positive, but they'll be straightforward and simple to look after at home. And it's the people that are not immunized at all that I worry about. And so I'm so keen for the vaccination rate to keep on going up.
And do you feel like, you know, in your own work, do you feel like the public are sort of on board with that, and that people are wanting to get vaccinated and are wanting their communities to get vaccinated as well?
Mostly, not fully. People have often been talking about it recently, the so-called 80-20 rule. 80% of people totally keen on being vaccinated, engaged, want to be vaccinated. They're the people that have been ringing us since March saying, put me on the list for vaccines as soon as you can do them. And so that huge rush, we've done a fabulous job with that. The people that are currently unimmunized, there's a few that just haven't gotten around to it. But then there's also a core of people that don't really engage with health services, maybe a bit suspicious of health services, hard to encourage to be vaccinated. Unfortunately, they're the very people that are going to potentially might have poor health statistics and might be more at risk of serious illness from COVID. And that's really worrying. So we still have to push the vaccine message in the communities and find creative ways to get people vaccinated.
That was Lynn McBain from the University of Otago, Wellington. She is the head of the Primary Health and General Practice Department there, speaking a little bit about how the Delta variant might impact the primary care sector if widespread outbreak happens across the country.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.